All right, on this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, very excited to be talking to an individual set to compete at BKFC 48, and that goes down on August 11th. And a very intriguing fight at 115 pounds as Melanie Shaw steps in there with Sydney Smith, and great getting to have Sydney on the show for the first time. How's your day going there, Sydney?
Doing pretty good. Already got in a workout and shower and ate, and my kid's napping, so life's good right now. Get ready for round two at the gym, so yeah.
Yeah, good to hear the day has some level of like fluidity to it and everything's going well, but I saw a post you had kind of recently that I'd be curious to, I guess, get some insights on, because you were talking about how you were going to be fighting in Albuquerque, New Mexico for the number one contender spot in the strawweight division. Like, is that something that the promotion has, I guess, expressly communicated to you, or just, you know, kind of looking at how the division is, you're just kind of making an inference that this fight could, I guess, vault you towards that, like, title shot type situation?
Let's see how I answer this. I think it's just kind of, I think it's just news now, because I just did an interview, like 30 minutes ago with the Sports Grid, and they knew about it. So I don't know, you know, who has officially or unofficially announced it, but, you know, the consensus is, and things have been, you know, I guess said that this is a number one contender fight. So, you know, that's what I'm taking it as, is that, you know, I'm fighting for my shot at the belt next, you know. So, yeah, I definitely am taking this very seriously. Let me put it to you that way. Is that a good answer? Is that good enough?
Yeah, no, I think I get the general sense, and I wasn't trying to like put you on the spot per se, but just thought it was an intriguing post. Yeah, I mean, just an interesting division overall. I mean, you're experienced in combat sports overall, obviously, but is it almost like a whirlwind experience to a degree, just being that this is your, you know, sophomore BKFC effort, and we're already talking about, you know, title implications and everything? Like, does it almost feel like a whirlwind kind of experience, or did you almost think entering bare knuckle you'd make this? No, sorry, go ahead.
I definitely, I don't know, when I first was like, hey, I want to do BKFC, I wasn't, you know, I thought, you know, I definitely had the skill set and the work ethic to make it to be a champion. Obviously, anybody who takes on an endeavor like this doesn't take it on lightly, you know, like, you always do it with the, you know, eyes on the prize. But I think why I do it is a little different, you know, like, I'm not doing it really just to be the champ. I do it because, you know, I seek excellence in everything that I do, but I'm also, you know, trying, I'm working hard for the biggest platform to, like, you know, share my faith in God and what he's done for me. And so, you know, honestly, after my last fight, you know, I prayed about it, and I really felt like the answer was, you know, one or two more fights and I would be fighting for the title. And so, you know, I just kind of claimed that, and then it just kind of like God just did it, you know, like, it just got the call one day and was like, this is what's gonna happen. And I was like, heck yeah, that's exactly what I prayed for, so let's do it, you know. So I go into it with a little bit of a different confidence, like, you know, I work really hard for this, but also, you know, like, I feel like this is God's plan for my life. And so, you know, no, I'm not really that shocked. I feel like this is what was said to me, and, you know, when I prayed about it, and so I'm just trying to walk in it, you know. But yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to ramble there, but
oh no, I didn't tell you like that. You're giving me the insights, I appreciate it. But just in touching on that first fight there, I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't, because, like, I'm kind of saying, I felt like you asserted yourself very quickly, just beating someone like Andy Nguyen, who prior to that point had not been defeated in bare knuckle. And yeah, it just seemed like a lot of, you know, elements were going into that one. And as far as, like, you kind of, you know, stepped in there, and she was like getting the hometown kind of reception, and you sort of got the victory in quote unquote enemy territory. So what were the main takeaways from that one there and everything?
You know, one of the main takeaways is that BKFC takes phenomenal care of the fighters. I was absolutely just blown away by how well the promotion was run and how much they really genuinely care about us and, like, our well-being and our comfort and, you know, just making sure that we're at maximum, you know, performance level. And I really like that. And, you know, I feel like, you know, I'm going to have to, another takeaway is, you know, push the pace a little more. Now, I don't want to get reckless, you know, because that's where you get caught and stuff, and I have certain game plans, and, you know, you stick to those, and sometimes wins aren't pretty, and that's okay, but, you know, knock the ring rust off, turn around, and get back in there. So, you know, I feel good, ready to go, and, you know, just go out there and do my thing, you know, that's all I can do.
And I kind of liked how you guys had, like, a good rapport after the fact. Like, I think it shows a cool facet of combat sports when those situations can happen. Like, I think you were posting some photos of the fight where you had, like, a bit of a crazy look in your eye. And then you're like, oh, see, this is just how my face is for the fight. And then Andy's like, oh, I'm going to be cheering you on in Albuquerque. So, love to see it.
Yeah, she had posted some fights, you know, or some pictures of our fight after the, you know, the fight when BKFC had posted everything. And I guess some people were saying, you know, mean stuff, which I'm used to. I've had mean things said to me pretty much my whole life. So to me, it's just water off a duck's back. I laugh at stuff like that, you know. And I even commented on the status. I was like, guys, I have a whole album of this stuff. Like, it's nothing new to me. I mean, like, that's just my face. And so finally, I had time one day, and I was like, you know, I want to go through, and I'm gonna post them, you know, and I'm gonna tag her and be like, look, dude, it was just my face, because she messaged me personally, and she was like, I feel like I'm so sorry. And I was like, first of all, you can't help. People are mean, you know, like, they're gonna say mean things. That's not your fault. And second of all, like, that's just my face, bro. Like, you also can't help that. So, you know, no worries. You know, but yeah, Amy's such a cool person, you know. And it was an honor to share the ring with her. You know, she's a veteran, like, super, super veteran of, you know, combat sports. She, I think she has like 20 pro fights, you know. So, you know, it was definitely an honor getting in there with her. And, you know, it was a nice welcome. So, you know, I'm here. Hey, guys.
Yeah, I mean, definitely put yourself right out there and everything like that. I guess I'm curious, like, in terms of, I guess, maybe what could be gleaned from, like, that first experience that can be used for, I guess, the sophomore bare knuckle effort. Because, like, certain times I'll talk to fighters and, I don't know, just as an example, I guess, they'll almost fight in a way in the initial bare knuckle fight where kind of results in their hands being fairly sore, if not outright broken, but then they kind of like amend certain things and subvert a lot of that the next time out. So is there any things like that that you gleaned from the first time out that can be applied to this second go around, I guess?
I mean, my hands were sore. My right hand took a little longer to heal than my left hand. Definitely, it would be great if my hands weren't that messed up, because I would like another quick turnaround. But, you know, I really don't, I try not to focus too much on that. I mean, what's going to happen is what's going to happen, you know. I don't really care. I've broken my hands before in fights, broken feet, broke, you know what I mean? Like, it's nothing new to me. And it would be, I mean, I don't really know. I mean, it really just depends on the opponent, and you never really know what's going to happen that night. So, I mean, it's not really so much you can do, I feel like, to prepare, like, I mean, I knuckle hardened, you know, I definitely have been doing a lot more of, you know, like, knuckle conditioning and stuff like that. But other than that, I mean, I'm just going in there to fight, man. I try not to think about it too much. I drill it, whatever my coaches tell me to, I just drill it until it's muscle memory, because that's really what it's going to boil down to when you fight, is what you've drilled and what you've trained, and that's kind of what I focus on. I mean, I definitely want to be a little faster, a little more active, because I know I have more speed. There's some things I definitely want to showcase a little bit more that I didn't get to in my first fight. And definitely, you know, I didn't really get, there wasn't that much that, like, bad that happened in my first fight. I'm definitely going to change my shoes. So I trip over those all the time in the gym, too. And it's just, I don't know if I'm not picking my feet up enough in them because I'm used to being barefoot, or if like it's like just the type of shoes. They're boxing shoes, but I don't know if like some other ones will be different. Definitely been looking into that. I think it could just be because I'm used to being barefoot, you know, for MMA and Muay Thai and stuff. But I train in my shoes, so I don't know, man. That's pretty much it. Other than that, I just get out there and fight. I don't really care. I just want to have a good fight.
Yeah, you're not, like, out here punching the steel beams like you see some of these bare-knuckle fighters are, like, no kind of...
Every time I go back and watch that video, I show people that video, I'm like, look at this, like, this is insane, bro, like, she blows me away. That's actually where I got, like, the one where I used my kid's swing because she was doing this app thing, and I even, like, my tiger calling, I was like, do you like my makeshift thing? She's like, that's so freaking hilarious. And I was like, thank you. You know, but yeah, she's a bad mamma jamma. No, I'm not punching steel beams. I do punch like a little bit of padding, and then it's like wood, and then there's two poles in the middle at the gym. But that's not that bad. No, I'm not punching steel poles. I used to kick like telephone poles and metal poles and stuff like that when I was first started fighting, like, I don't know, it was weird, but I would just kick random stuff. I also don't have much feeling in my shins, knees, or elbows anymore, so there's that too.
Yeah, I mean, I would think that would take place during, like, some of the, you know, MMA days, as I was kind of referencing there, and definitely, you know, notable experience in that regard and everything, just kind of checking out some of the, you know, aggregators there and seeing the experience you've had, like, 9-some-odd MMA fights across amateur and pro, at least per some of those aggregators there. So how much of that, I guess, pays dividends to some of, like, the infighting and stuff like that? Because, like, I mean, I hear a lot of, like, the pure gloved boxers coming into bare knuckle, like, almost the active clinch is, you know, surprising just because it's not within, you know, their rule set and everything like that. So how much does the MMA pay dividends to, I guess, how you function in the BKFC active clinch positions and all?
So, you know, for me, I came from mostly Muay Thai. You know, that was like my bread and butter, was my favorite. And so, you know, what people call the collar tie or the half collar tie, for us it's a plum, or like the half tie plum. And I love it. You know, not a lot of people are comfortable there. It's basically just physics with your body. To me, that's what fighting is. It's just like I'm creating art through science with my body, and it's pretty cool. And so that's kind of how I look at things, is from the physics point of view. And man, like, the Muay Thai clinch, it is such a game changer. And I think even my next opponent, in her fight, they were like tied up a lot, and she said in her post fight interview that she really didn't know what to do with that. And that was mostly double unders. So you know, I'm more of a Muay Thai clinch kind of person. I think the hardest thing in transitioning from, you know, like Muay Thai into bare knuckle is when you do get in those positions, not to elbow or knee or, you know, sweep or kick or anything like that.
Yeah.
Because it's just second nature. And really that's the hardest part for me of bare knuckle. And that would be, you know, one of my takeaways from my last fight going into this fight is trying to shorten those, like almost like lags, where, you know, at the end of a combo or the beginning of a combo, my brain goes kick or do this or whatever. And so in when I'm sparring or when I'm was fighting, you know, I have like these little delays, and so I've been trying to get them shortened and replaced with, you know, a different, you know, strike with your hand versus, you know, a knee, elbow, or a kick. And so it's coming along nicely, if I may say so myself. But you know, yeah, it's definitely, that's the hardest part, I think, is you know, being in the clinch and not throwing elbows. But you know, yeah, come on over here and get close, we'll clinch up. I'll learn you.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm kind of curious, like, where you're, I guess, getting in work here. Like, it seems like mastering MMA, like MMA Institute, seems like the space you're at as of late. But just in kind of like doing a bit of backgrounding on you, like, it seems like you've had good past training rapport with, like, you know, Roxanne Modafferi. I saw you got cornered by Marvin Eastman. Like, what's the, I guess, dynamics like nowadays?
So that was right after I had my son. It was like 3.5 months. And I flew myself out to Montana, like, solo. It was the first time I ever flew anywhere. And she's one of my really good friends, Serena De Jesus, was fighting out there. And, you know, I didn't have the money to fly a corner out and stuff like that. And so she talked to Marv, and he said he would corner me. And so once we got out there and kind of, like, met up and hung out and stuff, you know, Roxy came up to me the day of the fight and was like, hey, you know, would you like for me to be in your corner? And I was like, oh my gosh, shut up, yes, please. Yeah. And, you know, so, like, I got to warm up with her, and, you know, and everybody was just so nice, and I got really close with Serena's mom, Billy, and, you know, we're all still really close. You know, I pretty much call Billy before every fight. You know, she's like my mom, too, so, you know, it was really cool. And I wrapped Serena's hands for the fight, I wrapped my own hands, I wrapped somebody else's hands, and I can't remember if there was another person. Like, I was just, like, the hand wrapper, and, you know, it was an interesting experience out there, but, you know, I've had an experience of a lifetime. That's what people ask me all the time. They're like, this is about fighting. And I'm like, honestly, you know, I just view it as an experience. Like, I would never get to really do these things or meet these people in my ordinary everyday life, you know? So, yeah, to me, it's super cool. Like, I'm living a dream, and I'm just trying to, like, work really hard so that I keep deserving it and, you know, stay humble and give the glory to God and just, you know, don't let it change me, but just have a good time and you know, try and pay it forward in the future to other people. So,
yeah, it's a good way to look at it. And just in continuing to live this dream, it would seem like the next one is presenting you with a great opportunity in certain regards, because you were talking about the, I guess, debut effort. And I mean, obviously happy to get the win, but it seemed like you were talking about how you would have liked to have shown more. And it seems like, just based on, like, the stylistic attributes both yourself and your opponent, Melanie Shaw, bring to the table. I mean, I was seeing an interview where you described it as a fight that would, you know, likely, you know, be a banger. Like, what is it about this fight that you think is going to, I guess, allow you to show, like, I guess, a more comprehensive kind of rundown of your skills as a bare-knuckle fighter?
You know, she just strikes me as a woman who wants to just, you know, she just wants to fight. Like, you know, she just continued to just walk forward and, you know, throw right hands and, you know, throughout the whole fight. And, you know, I feel like she's really going to engage with me, and that brings out the best in me as a fighter. I really, really love when, you know, it's a war, because, you know, it's a war. Like, I'm, it changes something in me, and I like that, and I need that. It's kind of like a therapy for me. So, like, I didn't really feel like I got everything out of the last fight that I needed to, or got anything out, you know what I mean? Like, got enough out during that fight. So I kind of needed another quick turnaround, because, like, I needed more therapy. Like, it wasn't enough, you know? I need another session. And so, that's why I always kind of hope for a banger, because I leave feeling satisfied, right? Like, I'm a perfectionist, and so I want to leave going, wow, like, I did the best I could, and you know, I laid everything out there, and, you know, it was a hell of a show, and, you know, just grit from start to finish. That's what I'm known for around here, the fights that, you know, I've been in, and that's just the style I like. And I feel like, you know, she's gonna give it to me. She's gonna give me that fight, and so I'm here for it, man. I'm here for it. And I feel like that, because I saw an interview, I guess it was like an older interview or whatever, but, like, where she really just wants to fight somebody who also just really wants to fight, you know what I mean? Like, that's kind of her fight too. And so, you know, I feel like we're just gonna have a good time, and, you know, I'll probably buy her a drink afterwards, or, you know, like a chimichanga, or I don't know, a cheeseburger or something, like piece of pizza, whatever she wants, you know. Like, we'll just sit there and chill and watch some fights and be cool. Like, that's the kind of opponent I like, is like the chill fighters. I don't I don't do drama. You know what I mean? Like, after I fight, like, let's be cool, snap it up, let's go get a drink or, you know, get something to eat and maybe watch a fight together, like, you know, and that's it. And be cool, like me and Andy did and stuff like that. So, yeah, I don't do the drama, so,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, you already got it out there in the ring. I mean, why still be hostile about it, right?
Oh, man, but you'd be surprised. I mean, it's so weird what you see sometimes, and it's like, I'm not here for that, right? Like, I do my talking in the cage, and so if I have something to say, you know, other than that, I'm just here to fight. So, you know, nothing but respect to her, and I hope we all both stay safe, you know, as safe as we can be, bare knuckle, but, you know, but, it's gonna be a good fight, so, you know, I hope she's been training hard, because I've been training really, really hard. I stepped up my training for my last camp, and, you know, definitely, I feel on point, man. I feel real sharp, and, you know, just, I feel confident in the work I've put in, and I can't wait to show everybody. So, yeah, I'm really excited.
Yeah, I just love the composure. Like, I mean, even in some of the, I guess, operative wording, like talking about this being a dream, and in some of the articles I was seeing on you, it seems like you were following BKFC from very early on. Like, it seems like there's this sense of, I guess, composure and appreciation, but in conjunction with obviously, like, diligently working towards this. So I would think that would, like, benefit what you're doing, like, give you that sense of, I guess, fluidity and composure, like when you're actually out there competing. Like, are you finding that's the case? Like, just the mindset kind of paying off in that kind of regard?
Oh, 100%. I mean, so many things happened in the last fight, and, you know, but I knew that, you know, like, this is my calling in life. You know, I feel like fighting is kind of my mission field, right? And so it was like every time something tried to go wrong, like, you know, two more things would go right. You know, like, God was always right there at every turn. And, you know, and everybody's like, are you nervous? Are you mad about what happened? And I was like, I don't really feel anything but just, you know, happy to be here, and I'm excited to fight, you know? And I'm carrying that energy into this next fight. Like, that's just kind of how I'm living now. It's just that, like, I'm excited for life and to see what God's gonna do next. And, you know, he kind of just orchestrated this whole you know, number one contender fight and everything, and like I said, that was what I was praying for. So, you know, the mindset is definitely just like, you know, this is what God has called me to do, and you know, I believe that what he's called you to do is going to happen, you know, as long as you're, like, doing what you need to do, because we do play a part in it. But, you know, I'm definitely working hard, and I'm treating my body like a temple, and, you know, I'm trying to be a good steward. Like, that's my prayer every day. I'm like, God, please keep me humble, and, like, you know, make me a good steward of everything that you've given me and everything that you're going to give me through this fighting, you know, and so, yeah, that's my mindset, and that's my focus, and I definitely feel very level, consistent, confident, not cocky, but, you know, confident, because I work really hard for it. And I think that's super important, is, you know, if you talk a lot, or if you, you know, you push for this or you push for that, you know, like a title shot or whatever, but you don't work hard for it, you can't back it up, then that's empty and that's cocky. But, you know, I'm coming from a place of, I've worked really hard for this for a really, really long time. I've been watching BKFC, like, they've asked me to fight at 125, but I just don't weigh enough, you know, I've had medical problems and stuff, like, I didn't walk around anywhere near what I walk around now, so, you know, I was waiting for 115, and, you know, so they opened it up, and I got fixed, and, you know, I feel like this is my time, so I'm coming for it, and that means that I have to work really, really hard for it, because there are lots of other women out there who are working really, really hard for it. And, you know, hard work and God's favor, man, there's it's a powerful combination. And, you know, so like I said, just trying to walk in that, but stay humble and be somebody that these younger kids can look up to, you know, that, like, they're not afraid to go on my Instagram or my Facebook, you know, like, my pastor can look at my page, and, you know what I'm saying? Like, I want to be, like a good role model for the kids in every regard. Not that discounts you, but just, you know, yeah, I'm just trying to be, like a champion of the people, man. Like, I'm just an ordinary person that just loves to fight and serves a big god. Like, that's it. So, nothing crazy, so.
No, just a cool way to look at it, though. And there seems to be, like, a fun kind of generational thing, almost. Like, as much as it's obviously your individual journey and you doing great things, like, I just love how your, you know, nickname Sundance is derived from, like, a nickname you had for your dad, and you were kind of referencing your kid earlier there and stuff like that too. And I imagine, I mean, you were talking about being a role model, I imagine, to just like younger kids in general, but I imagine there's an even more compounded focus with that there too. So yeah, just love to see it. It seems like there's this great, you know, individual effort you're on, obviously, but like some cool, like, generational kind of representation with it too.
Oh, for sure. And the higher that I get, like the higher level that I get to, the more appreciative I am for the way that my dad raised me and trained me and pushed me. And, you know, I'm definitely super grateful that my kid loves going to the gym with me. He loves when mommy works out. He likes watching fights. You know what I mean? Like, he gets it. His dad was a state champion wrestler in high school and stuff, so it's kind of in his blood. And, you know, we were... Smiths are known for being rowdy and fighting and stuff, so, you know, it kind of makes sense. And yeah, you know, I carry my dad with me, and you know, if my son wants to fight, fantastic. If he doesn't, you know, I'm not gonna force anything on him, but he's around it enough and he loves it. Like, he's got his own little gloves and his own bag, and you know, he loves it. And yeah, it's definitely important to have your family, you know, love you and support you and you know, just back your dream, because it's a crazy world and, you know, so many things can come against you, but, you know, as long as you just keep pushing through and you have the right people around you, you know, you do anything. This is what I'm here to show people, is like, hey man, if I can do it, you can do it. You know what I mean? Like, there's a way. So it's like, I don't want people to give up, or, you know, just, I dealt with like depression and suicide for pretty much like my entire life. And so something that's really passionate to me is to also use my platform to give people hope, to say, hey, you know, she could go through all of that and, you know, still make it and still do something with her life, or, you know, still have things turn around, then there's hope for my life too. And that's something else I really want to get out there, is don't give up, man. There's so much more waiting.
Well, I mean, that's an incredible message, and I love that you're, you know, using your platform for something like that. But I do want to be mindful of your time. I feel like I kind of lost track there a little bit. I felt like there was a lot I wanted to kind of touch base on with you, but just, you know, in saying all of that, Sydney, like, I'm curious if there's any final parting thought you might want to add as we're wrapping up here.
You know, I just want to thank all of my teammates, my sponsors, you know, friends, family, anybody who donates, prays for me, says an encouraging word, you know, all of the love I've been getting from BKFC and the media, and, you know, it's insane, but it's like a good insane, you know. And I just want to say, like, I'm just super happy and grateful to be here, you know, and just be able to perform for, you know, everybody's entertainment. But, you know, we work really hard for this, and, you know, just respect every athlete who's going to get out there in a couple of weeks and put it all on the line for you guys. You know, we work really hard for this, and I hope you guys enjoy the show, man. I know I'm going to enjoy myself. So I hope you guys do download the app. You can catch my last fight with Andy Nguyen on there, BKFC app. I think they have it like pulled up right there, so like you don't even have to go search for it. It's like, get ready for BKFC 48, and then boom, right there, you know. So yeah, just support us, watch, and have a good time, man. It's gonna be a lot of fun. So yeah.
I mean, I wholeheartedly agree. I feel like August 11th is gonna be a great night of fights, and I appreciate you coming on and giving insights ahead of your fight. Definitely one that stood out, and everything like that in terms of like divisional implications, just like where things could go with the strawweight title and everything. So yeah, very much excited for BKFC 48 overall, though. But I appreciate the time and you coming on and giving such great insights, Sydney. So thank you for that, and just have a good rest of your day also.
Thank you so much for having me on, and I appreciate your time, and, you know, I hope you guys enjoy the show, for real. It's going to be fun. So.